United States has reportedly drawn up a peace plan for Ukraine that could force Kyiv to give up territory and scale back its armed forces. Ukraine says it hasn't been consulted on the proposals. It comes as Russia launched one of its deadliest overnight barrages of the war, killing more than 25 people in the west of Ukraine earlier in the week. Keir Giles is a senior consulting fellow of the Russia and Eurasia program at Chatham House and is the author of Russia's War on Everybody. He joined me earlier. What do you make of these reports that the US and Russia have discussed a draft peace plan without Ukraine at the table?
Well, for the moment, they are just that, reports. Nobody's actually confirming this from either the US or the Russian side. And it's anonymous sources as opposed to any kind of official endorsement of what is supposed to have been agreed. So to a lot of us who habitually watch Russia and have been doing this for a living for a long time, it's starting to look as though this might in fact be just a Russian leak that's deliberately supposed to prepare the information environment for the outcome that Russia wants, as opposed to being anything that has actually been agreed, even just with Steve Witkoff, the US envoy.
Why would the Russians be doing that, even that, at this time?
It's not the first time that we've seen this happen. Setting up the idea, widespread in Western media now that it's been reported everywhere, that this is in fact a so-called peace plan as opposed to a complete capitulation for Ukraine, and normalizing this idea. Because what we've seen time and again is that people are so keen to look for a means of ending the war that they are increasingly willing to endorse these terms of surrender, which would be catastrophic for Ukraine, and leave it wide open and defenseless for the next Russian attack.
Keir, do we know much about how open the channels of communication are or are not, particularly when it comes to Ukraine and the United States right now?
Well, there seems to have been agreements being generated by Dmitriev and Witkoff, those two envoys, one from Russia and one from the United States, with no engagement with either Ukraine or the European backers of Ukraine either. So it, again, follows the pattern of these two individuals who are representing the two major powers that think they can agree this between themselves, arriving at solutions which are going to be absolutely unworkable and definitely not acceptable to either Ukraine or the European backers.
Is there a way for Ukraine to insert itself into this process with or without the assistance of Europe, for example?
Well, as we've seen previously, in this particular case, the victim does get a vote, because all of this is contingent on, if this is a real ultimatum that's being presented to Ukraine, what leverage the United States actually has to enforce Russia's terms of surrender. And that leverage is getting less all the time. The threat to reduce U.S. aid to Ukraine becomes less effective when it's already been reduced. Ukraine is growing stronger and developing its own weapon systems to replace the ones that the United States wouldn't supply. And Ukraine is slowly but steadily getting more support from Europe, which is gradually and painfully getting its act together to help fill the gap that's been left by the United States. So as time goes on, there's going to be less prospect for the United States to actually enforce any of these kinds of demands from Russia.
Keir, what kind of detail do we have of this proposal, even at this early stage, and what would it look like for Ukraine?
It's supposedly a 28-point plan for how to bring the fighting to an end, almost exclusively on Russian terms. There's not a huge amount of detail on exactly what kind of territorial concessions, for example, Ukraine would be supposed to make, although, as Russia has demanded previously, Ukraine is supposed to retreat from those areas that Russia has supposedly annexed and is already marking on its own maps as parts of Russia, despite the fact they don't even control the territory. But more significantly, there are supposed to be restrictions on the size of the Ukrainian armed forces, cutting them down by either half or by 60%, depending on which sources you read, and prohibitions on the kind of weapon systems that Ukraine has been using to strike deep into Russia, which is unsurprising because, after all, that is what is causing Russia the most pain at the moment in the course of its ongoing war.
What do you think of the way in which Vladimir Putin, the Russian leader, has used engagement, disengagement, and time in the way that he's dealt with the US President Donald Trump on this issue?
Well, in a way, he seems to be pushing at an open door in terms of how tolerant Trump has been for all of the engagement, disengagement, and stringing Trump along. There have been plenty of verbal outbursts and complaints on Truth Social from Trump, but never follow through with actually any concrete action to make Russia feel uncomfortable about what it's doing. So Russia will, of course, be watching carefully just what the reactions from the United States to any of this are. But for the time being, there's no reason for them to feel at all concerned that the United States would do something they really don't want to see.
Keir Giles, thank you very much for your time this morning.
Thank you.